In your personal evolution, you're being urged toward your potential. And this unique development has a vital, yet sometimes mysterious ingredient. It's your self-confidence. Self-confidence is both a cause and a result of many factors, including your success. In this program, Brian Tracy leads you to understand how you can start where you are today in developing rock-solid self-confidence. This powerful mental ally will enable you to conquer fear and self-doubt, have better relationships, and perform better in any endeavor. You were born with a right to these and other fruits of self-confidence. And here, you'll learn methods of reclaiming title to that healthy mental and physical glow that seems to elude so many. You'll learn a number of practical action steps you can take to build immediate feelings of self-confidence. These will help you develop new habits of behavior, positive habits that will instill greater levels of the self-confidence you want and deserve. As author and narrator, Brian Tracy brings a lifetime of research and experience to this program. Through his work with Brian Tracy Learning Systems, and as author of several best-selling audio and video programs, Brian inspires men and women throughout the world. Now for you, Nightingale Conant and Brian Tracy offer a program that could be the turning point you've been looking for, The Science of Self-Confidence.
Hello, I'm Brian Tracy, and welcome to The Science of Self-Confidence. For more than 25 years, I've studied successful men and women, looking for the characteristics and qualities they have in common that have enabled them to achieve so much more than the average person. I've read thousands of books and articles and research studies, and I've come to the conclusion that the foundation quality of success in every walk of life is self-confidence. Every man or woman who has ever accomplished anything out of the ordinary has turned out to have greater self-confidence than the ordinary person. And when you develop yourself to the point where your belief in yourself is so strong that you know that you can accomplish anything you put your mind to, your future will be unlimited. A woman who had listened to one of my programs wrote to me recently and told me that one line in that program had changed her whole outlook on life. It was simply a question which asked, "What one great thing would you dare to dream if you knew you could not fail?" When she began asking herself that question over and over, her entire view of what was possible for her in life expanded dramatically. She saw clearly what she really wanted to be and have and do, and she simultaneously realized that it was only fear and doubt in her own abilities that was holding her back. What would you do differently if you were absolutely assured of success in any undertaking? What if some great force could endow you with the power to achieve any goal that you set for yourself? Or, to put it another way, what if you were completely unafraid of anyone or anything, and you felt completely free to act in any area in your own best interests? The fact is that if you develop the quality of unshakable self-confidence, your whole world would be different. With greater confidence in yourself and your abilities, you would set bigger goals and make bigger plans and commit yourself to achieving objectives that today you only dream about. You would take whatever steps were necessary to earn more money and enjoy a higher standard of living. You'd set your sights on a bigger house, a better car, more beautiful clothes, and nicer vacations, and all kinds of things for your family and for those close to you. You would do what you really want to do, and you'd refuse to conform to the wishes or opinions of anyone else. You'd define your life in your own terms and live every day consistent with exactly what it is you want and no one else. With greater self-confidence, you'd be different in every part of your work life and career. You might decide to ask for a promotion or a raise or even change to another job or another company or even another industry. If you're in sales, you would see more people and make better and more forceful presentations and ask for more orders and close more business. If you're in management, you would organize and reorganize your human and material resources to create a work environment that suited you perfectly, rather than making endless compromises in an attempt to please a variety of different people. With greater self-confidence, you'd be bolder and more imaginative. You'd be more creative and willing to experiment with new and different ideas and ways of doing things. You'd be willing to consider unusual and risky alternatives and be willing to commit yourself wholeheartedly to projects that are today sitting only on the back burner of your mind. If you had unlimited self-confidence, you'd be more powerful and persuasive with other people. You'd be more popular and likable and welcome wherever you go. You would speak up and speak out clearly in your interactions with others, and you'd be admired and respected and sought after by everyone who knew you. Recognition and responsibilities would flow to you because of people's belief in your ability to do whatever it took to get the job done. Positions of prestige and status would open up for you, and people would bring you opportunities and possibilities that you cannot now even imagine. With greater self-confidence, you could deal more effectively with the inevitable problems and difficulties that arise in day-to-day life. You'd think continually in terms of solutions and how you could turn any situation to your best advantage. You would laugh at adversities that would dishearten most people, and you'd be able to pluck success out of the jaws of failure. You would turn lemons into lemonade. You would feel invincible and unconquerable. With higher levels of self-confidence, you'd be far more effective in dealing with difficult people and situations. You'd be a far better negotiator, and you'd be able to ask for and get better prices, better terms, better conditions in everything that you bought and sold. With greater self-confidence, with an unshakable belief in yourself, nothing would be impossible for you. More than anything else, you would feel terrific about yourself. You would feel truly happy about every part of your life, knowing deep down inside that you have the ability to take whatever steps and make whatever changes are necessary to assure that your life is exactly the way you want it. You'd experience a tremendous sense of control, which is the fundamental condition for happiness, well-being, and maximum performance. You would feel like the master of your fate and the captain of your soul. You'd feel completely self-determined and in charge of your life. You'd experience a feeling of strength and power and purpose and a positive mental attitude toward yourself and everyone in your life and everything you do. With unshakable self-confidence, you would unquestionably be an exceptional human being. Human beings tend to be plagued with doubts about their own abilities and fears about every imaginable thing, especially the unknown. The psychologist Abraham Maslow said, "The story of the human race is the story of men and women selling themselves short." The great majority of people tend to compare themselves unfavorably with others. They dwell on their own weaknesses and limitations, and they eventually settle for far less than they're really capable of. Instead of enjoying high levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride, the average person just gets by from day to day. If self-confidence and the self-esteem that goes with it is so desirable, why is it that so few people have enough self-confidence to live the lives that are possible for them? Perhaps the most wonderful thing about self-confidence is that it is a mental quality that can be learned and which has been learned starting from early childhood. And because it's learnable, self-confidence can be developed and built up systematically and progressively over time by following the instructions in this program. Everyone has a certain amount of self-confidence, more and less in different areas, and by working from that base, it's possible for you to build yourself up to the point where you are completely confident in any area that's important to you. Perhaps the most important of all the laws that govern our lives was put forth by Socrates more than 2,000 years ago. He called it the law of causality. We call it the law of cause and effect, and it's often referred to as the iron law of human destiny. The law of cause and effect can imprison us in a cell of our own making, or it can liberate us by giving us complete freedom to live consistent with the law in anything we do. The law of cause and effect, which is both a physical and a mental law, says that for every effect in our lives, there is a specific cause. If there's an effect in our lives that we want more of, we can trace it back to the cause and, by repeating the cause, enjoy more of the effects. If we're in sales or business and we have successes, we can trace back those successes to the exact things that we did, and by repeating those things, we can get the same effects over again. This law also says if there's an effect in our lives that we don't want, whether it be overweight or not enough money or problems with people or negative business conditions, we can trace that effect back to the causes, and by removing or changing the causes, we can achieve different effects or different results. Now, this law of cause and effect is so simple and so obvious that no one questions it. We live in a world and in a universe governed by law, not by chance. Everything happens for a reason. Neither success nor failure is an accident. They have specific causes, and when we repeat the causes, we get the same effects, no matter who we are. This is just the way the world works. Yet, the world is full of people who are not happy with their results, and yet they continue to do the same things, think the same thoughts, say the same things, and take the same actions every day, and they are amazed that they continue to get the same negative effects. The law of cause and effect applies to our levels of self-confidence. All around us and throughout human history, there are and have been men and women with exceptionally high levels of self-confidence who have gone on to achieve extraordinary things. In studying the lives and stories of these people, we find that some of them started out with high levels of self-confidence, which they learned from their parents in early childhood. But most of them started off the same way we all start off, with deep-down feelings of inferiority and inadequacy. Because of destructive criticism and lack of love and other mistakes that parents make with us in early childhood, we grow up with diminished feelings of self-esteem, low self-confidence, and a feeling that we're just simply not good enough in comparison with others. With low self-confidence, many people today work extremely hard on the outside to achieve success, and when they do, deep down inside, they feel like imposters. This so-called fear of success is really a feeling of unworthiness that we can't seem to get rid of no matter how much we achieve on the outside. What people really want more than anything else is just to feel really good about themselves. We want to be happy and positive and have a sense of well-being. Above all, what we really want is peace of mind. And you can only enjoy peace of mind when you feel confident in your ability to deal effectively with the requirements of life, with your family and your friends and your work and your customers and your social activities and all the other things that you're involved in. The law of cause and effect tells us that if we want to enjoy the effect of high self-confidence, we need only engage in the causes of high self-confidence. If we can find out what it is that other highly self-confident men and women say and do, and do the same things, we will eventually get the same results. We will eventually feel the same way. We will eventually become unstoppable. In psychology, there's a principle or a law of becoming that simply says that each person is in a continual process of becoming or evolving and growing in the direction of his or her dominant thoughts. Your body is also in a state of becoming. At a normal rate of cell death and replenishment, you end up with a brand new body every 7 years. And while your physical evolution in becoming is affected by the food that you put into your body, your mental evolution and becoming is largely determined by the thoughts that you put into your mind. Anything that you think about long enough and hard enough eventually becomes a part of your mental processes, exerting its force on your attitudes and on your behavior. The law of concentration says that anything you dwell upon grows in your reality. The more you dwell on the person you would like to be, with the qualities you would like to have, the more these thoughts are implanted deeply into your subconscious mind and become part of your ongoing evolution. In this sense, you are a self-made man or woman. You are where you are and what you are because of the thoughts that you have allowed to preoccupy your mind. Whatever you've dwelled upon over the months and years, you have become, and you are, right now, today. Not only have you made yourself into what you are, but you are continuing with the job of construction with every thought you think. Since this is an unavoidable fact of life, the smartest thing that a person can do is to persistently think the thoughts that are consistent with the kind of person he or she would like to be. One of the most profound discoveries in all of human history is that thought is creative. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. Like begets like. Your thoughts become your realities. You do become what you think about most of the time. You cannot harbor one kind of thought and experience a different kind of existence. The development of unshakable self-confidence therefore begins with you taking full, complete, systematic, and purposeful control of the contents of your conscious mind, disciplining yourself to think consistently of only the things that you desire and to keep your mind off of the things that you fear. All of life is from the inside out. The law of correspondence, considered one of the most important of all the mental laws, simply says that your outer world will be a mirror image reflection of your inner world. What you see on the outside is merely a reflection of what is going on the inside. The fact is that with almost no exceptions, everything that a person experiences in their outer life corresponds exactly to something that's going on in their inner life. True happiness and success comes from living your life in harmony with the laws that govern your being. Even though these laws are invisible, they're like the law of gravity, also invisible, but to be violated only at your peril. Happy people are simply those who obey the laws and follow the laws and live their lives consistent with the laws. If we want to have self-confidence on the outside, we must have complete integrity on the inside. The real foundation of self-confidence is living your life consistent with your innermost values and principles while thinking and acting in harmony with your highest aspirations. Men and women with the most rock-solid self-confidence are inevitably those who are absolutely clear about what it is they believe to be right and good and worthwhile, and they live their lives consistent with these values. Everything that they do or say is a reflection of these innermost convictions. Your whole world can fall down around you, but as long as you know that you're doing the right thing, you'll have a deep inner sense of calm that will manifest itself in an attitude of confidence and self-assurance in any situation. You'll have many ups and downs in life, but what is most important is that you remain true to yourself. And then, as Shakespeare said, thou canst not then be false to any man. So the starting point of developing high levels of self-confidence and, in reality, becoming a superior human being is to think through and to decide upon your values. Recently, I addressed about 150 members of a national sales force of a very successful company. All the people at the meeting were positive and upbeat, and they had a special quality of goodness about them. When I commented on this, the president of the company showed me the value statement that the executives of the company had worked out before they had begun operations. There were two pages of values and principles, which were given to everyone in the company when they began. These two pages had been subsequently reduced onto plasticized cards that each person could carry in their wallet or purse. The president told me an interesting story. He said that whenever two or more people in the company were wrestling with a decision of any kind, even over the telephone, they would pull out their plasticized cards containing the definitions of their values, and they would go through the values together, one by one, and compare the various options with each value. Whatever decision they finally made would always stand the value test without question. In a recent study covering 25 years of business history, the researchers found that companies that had very clear written values to which everyone in the company ascribed had earned an average of 700% greater profit over the 25 years than other companies in the same industries that did not have written codes of values. The economic and personal results of individuals and corporations with clear values always tend to be far superior to those of companies and individuals whose values are vague or unclear. Your starting point toward higher self-confidence and personal greatness is to clarify your values for yourself, to decide for yourself what it is that you believe in. What do you stand for, and even more, what will you not stand for? What would you pay for or sweat for or maybe even die for? Do you value your family, your God, your health, your work or career? Or do you value principles such as freedom and liberty, compassion for the less fortunate, or reverence for life? Do you believe in honesty and truth and sincerity and hard work and success? Whatever your values are, think them through and write them down. A useful exercise you can engage in is to think of the men and women, living and dead, whom you most admire. What qualities or attributes of these people do you consider to be the most important? What qualities do you look for in your friends and associates when you're trying to decide whether or not to become deeply involved with them? What do you think are the fundamental qualities or values that underlie business and personal relationships? What are your values? Almost everyone will select the value of integrity as one of their foremost principles. Actually, integrity is more than a value. It is the one quality of mind that assures or guarantees all the other values that you select. Whenever I conduct a strategic planning session for a corporation, the executives of the corporation always select integrity as their highest value and the most important organizing principle for the entire organization. And the word integrity, according to the dictionary, means perfect, undivided, complete, unified, a single whole, without blemish or fault. It's a fine value to choose. However, you cannot have a little bit of integrity. You cannot have a value when it's convenient and put it aside when it's not convenient. The act of selecting your values is also the act of clearly stating to yourself, and sometimes to others, exactly how you will live from this moment forward. Once you've selected a value and you have declared it to be one of your unifying principles, you are in effect saying that this is something upon which you will never compromise. And your level of adherence to the values you have personally selected is the real measure of your quality as a human being. Unshakable self-confidence comes from unshakable commitment to your values. When deep down inside yourself you know that you will never violate your highest principles, you experience a deep sense of personal power that enables you to deal openly and honestly and with complete self-confidence in almost every human situation. By the way, if you're having trouble clarifying your values, a very helpful exercise is to take some time to write out your own obituary or eulogy. This obituary is your vision of the kind of person you wish to be and the kind of values you wish to live by. No one is perfect, and we all have a long way to go in living our lives consistent with our highest values. But the very exercise of writing out your ultimate goal in terms of your personal evolution will exert a powerful influence on everything you do thereafter. Both consciously and unconsciously, you'll always be drawn toward living and acting more and more like the person you described in that final testament. Once you've decided upon your values, and there should seldom be more than 5 or 10 which become your most significant unifying principles, your work is not over. Now you have to organize your values by priority. You have to decide which value is more important and which value is less important. If you wrote out each of your values on a small square of paper and then you had to throw away all the squares but one, which one would you keep? This then becomes your foremost value, the one that takes precedence over all the others. Which would be your second value, and your third, and your fourth, and so on? Your order of priority is extremely important in determining the kind of person you are and the kind of life you live. If your family comes before your health or your work in your order of values, you would always sacrifice your health or your work for the well-being of your family. If your order of values were changed and your work or financial success came before your health, you would be saying that you would sacrifice your health if that was necessary to get ahead in your career. I've known businessmen who put career success ahead of their families in their order of priority. Whenever they had to choose one or the other, they regularly chose their work over spending time with their spouse and children. And as a result, both the marriages and the careers have run into serious trouble. The principle of integrity seems to be a law of the universe. Whenever you violate or compromise your integrity for anything, or even when you organize your values in the wrong order, there seems to be a great power or force of retribution that will not allow you to get away with it. Integrity seems to be an absolute requirement for successful human living. A failing in integrity, a failing to live consistent with your values, not only seems to bring about a punishment that fits the crime, whether it's in business, politics, or personal life, but it seems to create a high level of stress, unhappiness, and inner turmoil in the life of the individual. This need for absolute integrity seems to require that you live in truth with all people and under all circumstances. Living in truth means that you never live a lie. It means that you always do and say what you know to be right and true, no matter what the short-term cost. Living in truth means that you do not pretend or practice self-delusion. You face life and your relationships and your circumstances exactly as they are, not as you wish they would be. Living in truth also means that you never stay in a situation that makes you unhappy or which you feel for any reason is wrong for you. Living in truth means that you set peace of mind as your highest goal and as your core organizing principle. You select all your smaller goals to be consistent with it. You never compromise your peace of mind for anyone or anything else. You do and say only the things that feel perfectly right for you. You accept your thoughts and feelings completely, whatever they are, and you systematically change each part of your life that is not giving you peace of mind. Only in this way can you enjoy the high levels of self-confidence that are experienced by the superior individual. Only in this way can you feel really terrific about yourself and get along wonderfully in all your relationships. Living consistent with your values is the key to happiness, harmony, and well-being. And this brings us to the final point in this session, perhaps the most important point of all, and that is that your true values are only expressed in your actions, in what you do. Whenever you are under stress and pulled in two directions at once with opposing demands or responsibilities, your true values come to the fore. The action that you take will tell you which value is uppermost. It's not what you say or hope or wish or intend, but only what you do that counts. Your choices tell you unerringly who you really are. A person who says that his or her family comes first and then has to choose between working late and going to a child's school play or sports activity, and who chooses the child's needs over the boss's requirements, is a person who is living consistent with his or her highest values. Everyone has had the experience of walking away from a job or a relationship, even though considerable sacrifice was involved, because it was the right, though painful, thing to do. And everyone remembers how great they felt as a result. One of the finest natural highs you can experience is to choose a higher value and act on that value no matter what the cost. And it will always turn out to be the right thing to do. You can develop a superb set of values by acting as though you already had those values. You can develop integrity and courage and compassion and confidence by behaving as though you already had these qualities. And the more you act the part, especially when you demonstrate these qualities under stress or when you feel like doing or saying something else, the more rapidly these qualities become a permanent part of your mental makeup. In mental development, there's a principle called resistance. In weightlifting, for example, muscles are developed by slow lifting of heavy weights. The heavier the weight and the greater the resistance, the more blood rushes into the capillaries and the bigger the muscles become. The same principle of resistance holds true in developing mental muscles, especially the mental muscle of the quality of self-confidence. Whenever you exert self-mastery and discipline yourself to do or say the right thing, especially under stress, you create resistance to your natural tendencies. This resistance generates friction. This is the same kind of friction or heat that, when applied to a crucible containing chemicals, will cause the chemicals to crystallize and take on a new form. Whenever you create friction by resisting your natural tendencies and instead doing what you know is right and true and consistent with your highest values, especially in a difficult situation, the mental heat causes your values to crystallize at a higher level and become a permanent part of your character. So the foundation of self-confidence, the basis of boldness and self-assertion, is a deep inner trust based on living a life of perfect integrity and disciplining yourself to live consistent with your highest values in every situation. Each time you do this, you will feel positive and happy and wonderful about yourself. Your behavior will further crystallize and become a more permanent part of the exceptional human being that you are in the process of becoming. The development of unshakable self-confidence will open up such possibilities for you as you cannot now imagine. You'll be able to dream bigger dreams, set bigger goals, make greater commitments, and plunge into life more wholeheartedly than you ever have before. Self-confidence is the hinge upon which turns the gate of individual achievement. When your self-confidence becomes unlimited, you will be able to realize more of your potential than you could under any other circumstances. More than 2,000 years ago, Aristotle wrote that happiness is a condition. It's not something that is achieved by pursuing it directly, but rather comes as a result of our engaging in purposeful activities. In a way, this is a statement of the law of indirect effort. This law simply says that almost everything we get in life involving emotional experiences comes to us more indirectly rather than directly. It comes to us as a result of doing something else. If we pursue happiness directly, it eludes us. But if we get busy doing something that's really important to us and begin to make real progress in the direction of our dreams and aspirations, we find ourselves feeling very happy indeed. Self-confidence is also subject to the law of indirect effort. We achieve higher levels of self-confidence by setting and achieving ever higher goals and objectives. As we move forward, step by step, as we feel ourselves advancing in life, we feel better and stronger and more capable of taking on even bigger challenges. We develop the confidence to tackle larger goals by applying our energies to the accomplishment of smaller goals. We build up our confidence as we go until we reach the point where there is nothing that we won't take on. In fact, the habit of setting and achieving ever larger goals is absolutely indispensable to the development of ever higher levels of strength and personal power. You can only really believe in yourself when you absolutely know that you have the ability to do what you set out to do. True self-confidence comes not from positive wishing or positive hoping or positive thinking. It comes from positive knowing, based on having proven to yourself over and over again that you have what it takes to get from wherever you are to wherever you want to go. Self-confidence is really a state of mind. It's an attitude, and as an attitude, it's more important than facts. But it must be based on facts to be the kind of self-confidence that you can rely upon in a crunch. Your job is to take the practical steps to convince yourself objectively that you are absolutely unstoppable and that you can achieve anything that you put your mind to. If self-confidence is an attitude of mind, it's based on mental principles and mental laws, foremost among which is thought is creative. You are not what you think you are, but what you think you are. As you systematically and deliberately change your thinking about yourself, your outer reality changes to conform with it. Your thoughts create your life, including and especially your thoughts with regard to your level of self-confidence. The reason why goals are so important is because of these mental laws. You are happy and successful to the degree to which you conform your life and your thinking to these laws and live in harmony with them. The first law, which we've already discussed, is the law of cause and effect. It's so simple and so powerful that you need to remind yourself of it all the time. Another way of stating this law is the principle of sowing and reaping. It simply says that whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. If you sow clear goals and objectives in your mind, you will reap clear results and rewards in your outer life. A subset of the law of cause and effect is the law of attraction. This is considered to be one of the most important of all laws in explaining what happens to you. It simply says that like attracts like. It says that you inevitably attract into your life the people, ideas, circumstances, and opportunities that are in harmony with your dominant thoughts. Whatever you're thinking, most of the time, you're drawing into your life from all directions. This is why fuzzy goals bring fuzzy results, whereas clear goals bring clear results. And since your level of self-confidence is directly tied to how effective you feel you are in achieving your goals, it's very important that you know exactly what it is you want and that you think of nothing else. Another law, again a variation of the law of cause and effect, is the law of correspondence. The law of correspondence, as we mentioned before, says that your outer world tends to be a mirror of your inner world. Your outer world of health, wealth, and relationships will be a mirror image reflection of your thinking on each of these subjects. Your thought is the most powerful force in your universe. It is both creative and causative. Every minute of every day, it's forming the world around you. As Shakespeare said, "Nothing is, but thinking makes it so." Your life is what your thoughts make it. Another principle I mentioned earlier is the law of concentration. This is another terribly important law when it comes to the development and maintenance of your self-confidence. The law of concentration says that whatever you dwell upon continually grows into your reality. Thinking about a subject, dwelling on it continually, is like watering and fertilizing a seed. It causes it to grow faster in your experience. The more you dwell on any goal or subject, the more of your mental capacities are dedicated to making that goal or subject a reality. The law of concentration explains why unwavering dedication to a single purpose goes hand in hand with all great accomplishment. The ability to concentrate without diversion on a single subject to the exclusion of all others explains why ordinary people achieve extraordinary things. Because of this mental law, an average individual with average capabilities, by bringing all of his or her mental powers to bear on the achievement of a single goal, can often accomplish far more than a seemingly more fortunate person whose energies are dispersed by having several goals at once, or as quite commonly happens, by having no goals at all. In addition, there's the law of substitution. This law simply says that your conscious mind can only hold one thought at a time, positive or negative. And whatever thought is held continuously in your conscious mind will eventually be accepted by your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind, in conjunction with these other mental laws, will go to work to bring that thought or idea into reality. Your subconscious mind is inordinately powerful and is the seat of all your emotions, your beliefs, your values, your attitudes, and your feelings. The development of the unshakable self-confidence that you desire requires that you step up to your mental computer and take every step possible to program self-confidence deep into your subconscious mind. The final law you need to know in dealing with purpose, personal power, and self-confidence is the law of emotion. This law simply states that every decision that you make, every thought you think, every action you take is based on an emotion of some kind, either the emotion of fear at one end of the spectrum or the emotion of desire at the other end of the spectrum. When you hold a thought in your conscious mind and it's charged with an emotion of any kind, it's rapidly accepted by the subconscious. The subconscious then activates all the other mental laws and begins to turn that inner thought into an outer reality in your experience. The more powerful the emotion, the more rapid the change in your behavior and the change in your experience. And if the emotion is strong enough, the change can be instantaneous. For example, I had a friend who smoked for 30 years. He claimed that he couldn't quit smoking because it was a deeply entrenched habit going back to early adulthood. One day he had some chest pains and went to his doctor, who performed a series of tests on him. When the results of the tests were in, he sat my friend down and told him that he had a heart problem, and that if he continued to smoke, he would die within 6 months. Samuel Johnson once said, "When a man is to be hanged on the morrow, it clears his mind wondrously." Well, the idea of dying was so emotionally charged to my friend that he took out his cigarettes, threw them in the wastebasket, and never touched one again. In a positive vein, if you are absolutely convinced that you were meant to be a great success in life and that there was nothing in the world that could stop you from achieving great things as long as you persisted and threw yourself wholeheartedly into every activity, you would become an irresistible force of nature. The depth of your belief and the strength of your conviction would determine the power of your personality. If you really believe in your ability to succeed, you would become unstoppable. And you can develop this kind of belief, this inner confidence, by developing what I call the four C's. The first C stands for clarity, knowing exactly what it is you want to accomplish and exactly the person you wish to become. The second C is conviction, which is absolutely believing that you have the ability to do anything that you can put your mind to. The third C is commitment, which requires the willingness to make whatever efforts are necessary. And the fourth C is consistency, which refers to the strength of character to say and do certain things in a certain way every single day until you achieve the goals that you've set for yourself. With clarity, conviction, commitment, and consistency, you're on your way to developing the kind of confidence that will make everything possible for you. The reason goals are so important in the development of self-confidence is because the very act of setting a major goal for your life will activate all the mental laws we just talked about in your favor. It will be as though all the switches were flipped and the afterburners of your potential were turned on. Clear goals free you from the law of accident, the tendency for things to happen in a random and unpredictable way. Goals will give you a clear sense of direction and the knowledge that your life is self-determined. Goals give you a sense of power and purpose and channeled energy and a feeling that everything that happens to you is part of an organized plan that is taking you step by step toward the attainment of your highest ideals. I believe that your ability to set goals and to make plans for their accomplishment is really the master skill of success, without which very little is possible. The regular habit of goal setting and goal achieving is probably more important than anything else you could ever learn, and there are many studies that verify this. I've personally seen thousands of examples among my students of the amazing powers of goal setting. For example, recently I addressed about 600 members of a national association at their annual convention in Phoenix, Arizona. And during this talk, I emphasized the importance of them writing down exactly what it is they wanted and then making written plans to accomplish it. That was on a Thursday. About 8 days later, on the following Friday, someone called my office to get my fax number. He said he wanted to send something immediately and didn't want to wait for the mail. The letter that came in over the fax told this amazing story. The gentleman who wrote said that he'd heard about goal setting many times and that he was prepared to be unimpressed with the talk that I gave at the convention. However, exactly the opposite happened. He decided instead to sit down after the convention and seriously write out his goals for the future. The letter went on to say that on Sunday he made out a list of 10 goals, both personal and financial, that he wanted to accomplish over the next 12 months. What astonished him was that he had accomplished 5 of the 10 goals by Monday, the next day, at 5 o'clock. He could hardly believe it. He quickly wrote down 5 more goals to bring his list for the year back up to 10, and by Friday, when he wrote this letter, he had accomplished 5 more. He felt that he had made more progress in a week with clear written goals and plans than he had made in the previous year. A woman who was going through a difficult period of her life with both personal health and financial problems decided to sit down and set some new goals and make some plans to resolve her difficulties. As a result, within 1 year, she got out of a bad relationship, joined Alcoholics Anonymous and quit drinking, lost 40 pounds, and tripled her income to more than $100,000 a year. There are countless other testimonies to the power of written goals, and before this session is over, I will give you a simple goal-setting technique that can put your life into overdrive. Remember when I said that everything you do is the result of either fear or desire, the law of emotion? Fear is the great enemy of self-confidence. Fear is and has always been the greatest enemy of mankind. It is fear that holds us back more than any other factor. It goes to work on us subconsciously to undermine and sabotage our very best intentions. In fact, as you listen to this message, you're probably resolving to take some time to write out your goals and be very clear about your future. But what will happen in most cases is that fear will rear its ugly head and trip you up. Sometimes this fear will appear consciously in the form of rationalizations and excuses. Sometimes you'll find yourself saying that, I already know what my goals are, I don't need to write them down. This is just another way of saying that you don't really believe in your ability to do any better than you're doing now. Sometimes fear will manifest itself in the form of procrastination and delay. you'll resolve to write out your goals and plans on the weekend or on your vacation or during the summertime or when you can dedicate a few hours to it sometime in the indefinite future. Then, like 97% or more of Americans, you'll never do it. And then you'll have a tendency to rationalize and to say to yourself, well, considering my situation, it probably wouldn't have made any difference anyway. If the great enemy of self-confidence is fear, then the great enemy of human achievement is the comfort zone. Psychologists have found that each of us has a tendency to get into a zone of performance and behavior where we're comfortable, where it's easy and unchallenging, and then to stay there. We stop striving, we relax, and day by day we develop the habits that lead to underachievement and eventual failure. The tragedy of the comfort zone is that it first of all starts off by being comfortable, but it leads rapidly to complacency. Complacency eventually leads to boredom and to the question, is this all there is? Instead of life being an exciting adventure, it's merely a boring repetition for most people. And eventually, the comfort zone leads through complacency and boredom to frustration and unhappiness. Deep down inside, the average person knows that he or she is put on this earth with amazing capabilities. He or she knows that there is something better than this. As Carl Rogers, the psychologist, once said, there is within every organism an inborn drive toward the complete fulfillment of its inherent possibilities. There is a nagging something inside that tells each person that there is far more that he or she could be and have and do. Great men and women are those who absolutely believe that they are put on earth to do something wonderful with their lives. They have a vision of something greater or better than their current circumstances. Personal greatness means having a sense of destiny and a conviction that your thoughts and your imagination are the only real limits to your possibilities. In a 5-year study of leaders, Warren Bennis discovered that each of them consciously avoided the comfort zone by continuously setting higher goals. They never allowed themselves to become complacent. They lived their lives fully extended, always striving to be more. To develop unshakable self-confidence, you need to see yourself and think of yourself as a leader and to do what leaders do. You need to stretch yourself toward the outermost boundaries of your potentials. You need to set goals that draw out of you the very best that is in you. You need to work toward objectives that cause you to feel a sense of mastery and peak performance. And it all begins with a pad of paper, a pen, and you. The starting point of setting goals is for you to throw off all mental limitations and let your mind roam freely across the entire universe of possibilities. Temporarily imagine that you have no limitations of time or money or knowledge or contacts or experience or education. Imagine that anything that you can write down is possible for you. Remember, anything that you can clearly define and crystallize on paper is probably possible if you want it long enough and hard enough and are willing to make whatever efforts and sacrifices are necessary. There are no unrealistic goals, only unrealistic timelines. The very fact of writing them down sets the whole universe to work in your favor and activates all the mental laws. In fact, the very act of writing down big, challenging goals causes 3 things to happen. First, your self-concept and your self-confidence go up immediately. The act of setting goals requires self-confidence and simultaneously builds self-confidence. Having the courage to write down what you really want improves your self-image and raises your self-esteem. The action itself generates a feeling of greater personal power and ability. Second, goal setting actually gives you a burst of physical and mental energy. Your heart rate and your respiratory rate speed up. The very act of goal setting is inherently exciting. It sounds a little corny, but someone once said, "Feeling listless? Make a list." And it's true. It's like stepping on the accelerator of your own mental and physical potential, and if you do it every day, the results can be amazing. Third, the very fact that you have committed a goal to paper dramatically increases the likelihood that you'll achieve that goal. Your mind is structured in such a way that you cannot define a goal clearly without simultaneously having the ability to attain it. Again, the most important question is, how badly do you want it? There are several good mental tools that you can use to set your goals. The first is to imagine that you've just won $1 million in cash and that you can do or have anything you want. What would you do with the money? Where would you go? What changes would you make in your life? If you had complete financial freedom, what would you do differently from what you're doing now? Write it all down. A second exercise is to describe your ideal lifestyle. Imagine that you could live what in your estimation was the perfect life. What part of the country would you choose to live in? What kind of a company would you choose to work for or start and run as your own? What kind of a home and car would you want? And how would you like to spend your time and live your life? What kind of relationships do you want? A third way of setting goals is to ask yourself what you would do if you learned today that you only had 6 months to live. If you had no limitations, how would you spend your last 6 months on Earth? This is just another way of asking, what is really important to you? Who would you want to spend time with? What would you want to accomplish? What would you like to leave behind? In other words, what do you truly value? What are the things that really give meaning and purpose to your life? A fourth exercise is to list all of the worries or problems in your life and write out a goal which is the perfect solution to each of the difficulties. If money is a concern, write out a goal which clearly defines how much you want to earn, how much you want to have, and what you want to achieve financially over the next 3 to 5 years. Think about your family and your relationships. Describe the perfect situation between you and the important people in your life, and then make out a series of goals to achieve that situation. Look at your health. Describe what perfect physical health means to you, and then make out a plan to achieve that level of fitness. A fifth way to set goals is to define the kind of person that you would most like to become, both personally and professionally. Then, you work out a plan of personal and professional development that will enable you to learn and grow and become the kind of person you most admire and would most like to be. Remember, as Goethe said, before you can have something, you must first be something. Once you've written out your goals, divide them into the different areas of your life that are important. There are basically 6 divisions that most people use, but you can have more or less. These 6 divisions are, first, financial and material goals. Second, family and personal goals. Third, self-improvement goals. Fourth, spiritual goals. Fifth, health and physical goals. And sixth, social and community goals. To perform at your very best, your life must be in balance. This means that you need to have goals in each area so that you're moving progressively forward on something that's important to you all the time. The next step, once you have all your goals in writing, is to organize them in order of priority. Select the goals that are more important than others and put them at the top of each list. Then select the goals that are second and third and fourth and so on. Finally, and perhaps the most important of all in goal setting, is for you to select the one goal out of all the goals that is more important to you than any other. This is the key to your success. The mental discipline to set your goals and to sort them out and to decide on your chief aim or your major definite purpose is the starting point of individual greatness. This goal is the one goal, the accomplishment of which will lead to the attainment of many of your other goals. It becomes the basic organizing principle for all your other goals and activities. This goal is what enables you to bring all your mental resources to bear on the forward progress that leads to the unshakable self-confidence that you desire. This is not easy, but it's all important. Orison Swett Marden again wrote, "The giants of the race have been men and women of concentration, who have struck sledgehammer blows in one place until they have accomplished their purpose. The successful men and women of today are those of one overmastering idea, one unwavering aim, men and women of single and intense purpose." Single-minded concentration in the direction of your dreams will intensify your desires and increase the positive emotional component of your goal. This intensity of concentration will activate the law of attraction and begin to attract people and opportunities into your life that are in harmony with your goal. And the more you think about it, the more it will come to dominate and direct your life, and the more rapidly you will move toward it and it towards you. Your major goal must be measurable. It's a basic rule that what gets measured gets done. So make it clear and quantitative and objective, and if necessary, break it down into smaller parts that you can work on one at a time. Your major goal must also be clearly time-bounded. Set a deadline on it. Select a realistic but challenging date for its completion and write it down. If it's a long-term goal, like 2 or 3 years, then break it down into smaller parts with minor goals or benchmarks every 30 to 60 days. Finally, create a structure of rewards that you'll give yourself upon the attainment of each part of your goal and on the attainment of your entire goal. For maximum motivation and high achievement, you need to tie each goal to a reward and each part of the goal to a smaller reward. The reward may be a vacation or a holiday. It may be a new car or a new home. It may be something that affects all the members of your family. Many people enlist the support and cooperation of their spouses and children by agreeing to rewards that everyone will get when the goal is attained. Rewards make the process more fun and more interesting, and they also act as an inner drive that propels you forward when the going gets rough. Once you have your major and minor goals, you construct your plans by making detailed lists of everything that you'll have to do to achieve each goal, and then organizing the list by time and priority. What will you do first, and what will you do second? What is more important to the goal, and what is less important? Make each activity measurable and put a deadline on it. Select the very first thing that comes to your mind to do, and just get started. By setting goals, making plans, and getting started, you have joined the top 3% of Americans, and your future is virtually guaranteed. A final point with regard to goals is this. Keep your goals confidential. Many people make the mistake of talking too much about their goals. Too much talking causes their energies to dissipate and their motivation to actually decline. They lose the force and the power they would have had if they'd kept their goals to themselves and instead concentrated on purposeful activities. And now let me give you the simple technique that's transformed my life and the life of almost every person who's ever used it. It's simply this. Get yourself a spiral notebook, the kind used in school for taking notes. Then begin each day by sitting down with this notebook and writing out your main goals in the present tense as though they already were a reality. Use strong, definite words like I earn, I achieve, I am, I can. You can write other things in this notebook if you like, but the most important thing is that you take 3 to 5 minutes or more each day to write and rewrite your major goals in the present tense. Each time you write out your goals, you drive them deeper into your subconscious mind. You increase the intensity of your desire and the depth of your belief. You activate the mental laws of concentration and attraction and correspondence. You focus your mental powers and increase your confidence that the goal is achievable. By rewriting your goals every day, they become clearer and stronger, and they begin to take on a power of their own. This exercise will impress your goals so deeply into your subconscious mind that they will eventually lock on, and you will begin to move irresistibly and unstoppably toward their achievement. Your future will be guaranteed. As you develop this ability to set and achieve whatever it is you want in life, you will develop the kind of confidence that comes from positive knowing rather than positive thinking. You will become unstoppable.